Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.
I'm Jim Cook, brewer of Sam Adams, here to tell you about Sam 76.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 1.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 10. Power to Redeem on Battle Lines. He has been given power over all flesh, literally the power to redeem as many as would come to him. It was life eternal. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 9th day of August 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting at verse 6 through chapter 16, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11 through chapter 55, verse 5. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 9, starting at verse 1 through chapter 10, verse 42. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to the latest radio shows and to read the featured articles by The Watchman. The featured posts this week are Tide, Time, and Eternity, Meet in One Place at the Lord's Coming. Time, Tide, and Eternity, The Rad Solution Today. Time, Tide, and Eternity await no man, neither are they stopped by any man. While we can do many things, stopping time is not one of them. Also, Corrie Ten Boom's Letter, 1974. Corrie's letter states, "The world is deathly ill. It is dying. The great physician has already signed the death certificate, yet there is still a great work for Christians to do. They are to be streams of living water, channels of mercy to those who are still in the world." So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com, and you can read those articles by The Watchman, and also listen to the shows. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio, and we have three Twitter accounts, hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. And tonight, our Bible study. It is not surprising that some of the meaty substance of the Gospel of John is found in the later portions of the book. All of John is about the testimony of Jesus Christ and who he was, literally the Son of God. It was the purpose from the foundation of the world to redeem fallen man. Here in part 10 of John's Gospel Witness, we find the power to redeem. It is here that the true Lord's Prayer, the true prayer of the High Priest, the Son of God, is given. He prays as the eternal High Priest who has no beginning and end. It is here that before the cross, this revolutionary prayer for all that for all the deep things of God are made. And now I welcome in the watchman for John's Gospel, Witness to Jesus Christ, Part 10, Power to Redeem. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, it's about time. I thought you'd never get to me.
Hey, I usually can't get a word in edgewise, so I'm getting in all the time I can.
You always have the ability to get your word in. Matter of fact, there's times you don't want to talk. I know that's hard
most
to believe, people, but there are times she does not want to say anything.
So anyway, I was going to mention this last night, and I didn't get a chance to. Wonder why. But anyway, this Corey Ten Boom's letter, you know how she was saying the world is deathly ill, it is dying, and the great physician has already signed the death certificate?
Yeah.
That was in 1974, 44 years ago.
1 year after we got married.
Yeah, and look how much worse it is. It should have been dead by now. I mean.
Well, I'll tell you, I've always thought the world of Corrie Ten Boom and her testimony.
Me too.
And
it was an amazing testimony.
Yeah, you can find that up on our website. Actually, I have a direct link to a post with her letter in it.
But I find it amazing that she talked like that 44 years ago.
I know. And I'm not really sure why my other big computer came on. Well, it's on, but it was picking up stuff from the radio as it's played. We do have ads on that. We have pre-roll and post-roll and mid-roll and all the other rolls. And if you do hear something, and we did get a letter from a young woman, from a gal that talked about going to Israel. Now, I know that WorldNet Daily is doing going to Israel, and I think... Well, I'm not sure. Marzulli's going somewhere. I'm not sure where he's going, but he's been trying to get some other people to go with him. But at any rate, we're not planning, you know, hosting anything to go anywhere. Not that we're opposed to that. It's just that it's not really my cup of tea. And... but at any rate, you would have to contact the ad company, listen to the contact on the radio when it plays, because...
Boy, I would have no idea who is offering those tours.
No, you know, like I said, I know WorldNet Daily has been advertising. I thought theirs was already over with, but maybe it still has a bit to go.
I thought his was going to be in October.
Well, see, most people want to go to Israel on Tabernacles. Actually, you have Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles all coming up, and they're coming up next month.
Yeah, the end of September.
So that's usually when now Tabernacles is really, really the time to go. And if I was going to go any time and take people with me, it would be during the time of Tabernacles in Israel.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. And I also know a host church that I would go, because we've I interviewed their head pastor. I think he's still involved, but he's not the head pastor of the church. He's head pastor of the ministry or something like that. But at any rate, it's Maoz Israel.
Yeah,
or Moaz. I think it's Moaz Israel. I always said it wrong.
Maoz.
And so at any rate... that's about all I can tell you about that.
Yeah, that's M-A-O-Z Israel. They could contact them for...
Well, I thought it was tours. The other way around, no. M-O-A-Z.
No, it's M-A-O-Z, Maoz.
Well, at any rate, now you got that. So at any rate, we did have some problems on the show last night because my screen went dark. I've been having this problem with it for some, not too long. It's just a recent occurrence the last couple of months, and I've been doing work trying to find it, and so I did finally uninstall something that I think was a problem because I did get the main part of the events of it and what they were looking at. And we did some updates and stuff like that, some more updates. We're always doing updates. There's updates on top of the updates, and then they got to update those.
It drives me crazy.
Oh, yeah, all the time. And all the computers we got around here, it keeps me busy, you know. So we've got a ton of stuff to update. And then that's just from Windows 10. And then we have to update the Intel and AMD and a bunch of others. It's amazing how much stuff you got to do. And the drivers, you know, you always got to do that. And dear God in heaven.
Yeah.
So at any rate, things are looking good as far as we are getting into the basics of the second book of our series. We're also promoting book number one, Steal the Darkness. And check out the site, danaglennsmith.com. And you'll find the book there, and it has a description on it. We're going to be also on NetGallery, and then we're going to have another promo beyond that. We're advertising on Facebook. And advertising, I mean, it's... Every post we do would actually take... we could probably do it for $25 to $50. Every post and everything you do. That's the way the world is. Now, of course, Twitter does theirs a little different. It's $100 a month for just one of our Twitter feeds. So it'd be $300 a month if we did all three of them. But they promote, and we don't need to do all three of them. But at any rate, that's beside the point. The point of it is it's not, you know, by any stretch cheap. To do any of that, but the Lord makes a way for us, and of course, there's a lot of things that we do ourselves because we can. I mean, I'm tech friendly, so even though I'm, you know, in the senioritis stage, you can tell when you're getting old like that because everybody young looks at you and wants to open the door for you, and you know, they think you're about ready to fall over dead.
Well, not quite, dear.
Yeah, I know these things. They look at you like, good grief, how old are you?
You don't look that old.
No, I don't, but at any rate, I mean, that's what they do. Of course, I've seen some people.
At least they're holding the door open. That's nice, showing some respect.
Well,
there's not a lot of that around.
Well, I can't remember the last time somebody actually did it, but they do that. But I mean, I was taught to open up the doors for ladies, but the only lady I know is you.
Oh, there's more around than that, dear.
Yeah, but there ain't none I'd open the door to, because every time I opened a door for a lady, most of them got mad at me, and the others looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
So open up your own doors. But there are a few people like me that do remember that. That's actually what you were taught.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, that's what the boys were taught. And all the kids were taught to respect your elders. And now I just shake my head. What what is going on.
Oh, I know.
They are, you know, it doesn't look good. It really doesn't. If you look around and see what they're doing through our schools to these children.
Yes, that's very disturbing.
It is. And I don't know. There's just nothing you're going to do to stop it. Just nothing.
Nope.
And the only way to really stop it is don't let them go to school. Teach them yourselves.
Well, that one thing you were telling me about these transgendered people going into the schools in kindergarten to show it's okay to dress as a man if you're a woman and a woman if you're a man, and to pervert these kids, every parent should keep their kid at home. Every parent shouldn't even allow them to go see that garbage.
Well, you know, what they're doing is, and the pictures I've seen are pictures of like a drag show. And it's a drag queen show. So they're
That's
all
horrible.
Guys dressed up as women. And they, you know, and that's just what I've seen. I don't know what else they're doing. I wouldn't sit still for it.
No.
I am not interested in that.
Garbage.
Well, I was thinking crap.
Filth.
Filth.
Perversion.
I mean, there's no sense just dancing around it. That's what it is.
That's right.
Period. I have to clean up my yard every once in a while from the dog I got. We got an arrangement. She goes outside and I get to pick it up, and she sits around and watches me, and then we go to the garbage with it. So it's one of them arrangements. But see, you know, the stuff that it, you know, when you look at what's happening, it just is absolutely just, there's no words to describe how screwed up it is.
That's right.
Just no words, and all your excitement isn't going to do any good. It's not going to change anything. This nation has been turned over a long time ago. And
yep.
I've been warning about judgment, because God's judgment's on this nation, and it is. And it, you know, and we are just playing and pussyfooting around in the grace of God right now until the judgment hour arrives. God help us. And in the meanwhile, we're perverting our children like you wouldn't believe. And it just absolutely astounds me how utterly devoid of spiritual sense people are out there, and a few other senses. But thank God we can go through John tonight and get some stability.
And some, yes, and grounding.
Grounding. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to need the Word of God. And I call this washing of the water by the Word. It cleanses your mind, heart, and soul, and spirit.
Amen.
And you listen to that, you meditate on it, and God's Spirit will cleanse you with it. You got to get your mind out of the gutter, and that means get it out of the news. Get it away from what's going on. And if you have children in school, you hike yourself down to the school and find out what's going on. You find out what kind of special programs these special educators are putting on for your children.
That's right.
Because they, and I guarantee you, they may have a degree, but they have a degree of filth to go along with it. They have no morality whatsoever. It's a humanistic endeavor. It's a perversion of the children. And they're making their child twofold more the children of hell than they themselves are. Matter of fact, that's what the Lord told the Jews. God help us. And that's what's happening in this country. And God is not going to be happy with you people. And you can go to the best, nicest church on earth, but if you're teaching filth to kids, that filth, you're going to go to hell, period. Shame on you.
Yes, amen.
And of course, you know, one of these days, you're not going to be able to preach at all and teach at all in this country. You know, we take things for granted, but one day, it's the darkness is going to be here. And the Lord says, you know, you work while it is day, because the night cometh.
Yeah, just like they, that Greg Laurie had to take his billboards down.
Yeah.
Because they thought he had a Bible, you know, because it looked like he had a Bible in his hands.
He did have a Bible.
Well, yeah, but that they're offended at the Bible. Well, they're going to be more offended when they have to stand before the white throne judgment.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't care whether they're offended.
I don't either. They need to be offended.
Yeah, they need to get poked in the eye with the truth of God's word.
Keep them out of hell. Hope, you know, convert some.
But see, there's some people that won't do that.
That's right.
You know, but things have changed. You know, we are in perilous times.
Yes, we are.
So at any rate, we're going to do this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side, dude watchman.
Okay. We are in John's gospel, witness to Jesus Christ, part 10. Dear God in heaven, part 10. That's hard to believe. We're in John 17. And I call this whole section, you know, this is the Lord's, true Lord's Prayer. The other one taught you how to pray. You know, an example of a prayer. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus. Now, if you looked at that word Jesus in the Greek, it would be Iesous. I-E-S-O-U-S. Iesous. It's really hard to believe we got Jesus out of that, but there is a story behind that, and goes back to the original, goes back to the Latin, and goes back to the English, because at one time we did not have J's. So things have changed. These words spake Jesus, the only begotten Son of our God and our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I put that in there so you'd understand who we're talking about. These words spake Jesus, the I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the way, the truth, and the life. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. It's getting close. Because remember, he gave up glory, emptied himself. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now see, this is the power. He got it from the Father. The Father is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he gave the Lord power over all flesh. Now with that power, of course, he can raise the dead. He can judge the quick and the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And it's quite clear. If you believe and receive him, you'll get eternal life. But in John chapter 3, we know very well from the context there, John chapter 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have eternal life." Now when you read that, you think, well, good, everybody's going to get eternal life because everybody believes. Well, the scripture tells us the devils believe, and yea, they tremble. And we know very well the devils don't get saved. They're not saved. So it's beyond just a mere head knowledge we're talking about. But if you follow the context down, of course, it says many won't come to him because they love darkness more than light. And the first chapter, he went to his own, and his own received him not. And that's the way it is today, even among Gentiles. They don't receive him. They'll receive anybody else. They will follow just about any other way. But even as I said that, we report on the mission field. We report on the persecuted church as an advocate for the persecuted church. And guess what? People are getting saved. Miracles and signs and wonders are occurring. But in spite of that, there are many that are not saved. Many that don't come. But see, he has the ability to give eternal life to everybody, but you have to receive him. You have to be born again of the Spirit. And because our propensity to follow darkness, as Tower and I was discussing before we began the program, darkness has descended on this world and especially on America. At no other time have we been so corrupted throughout the various aspects of our society and not realized it. And this is life eternal, the Lord says, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He Jesus HaMashiach. The Anointed One. Yahweh saves. And this is life eternal. That's the power. He didn't come, as it says in John 3, "For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." But he has the power to give everybody that life eternal. But people are not going to avail themselves of it, unfortunately. And I've said this time and time and time again, and I'll keep saying it. There is no reason for people to go to hell. None. Zilch. Nada. If you would truly receive him, truly repent and come to him, God is just looking for you to repent and to be honest in your heart and come unto him. But many people won't. For various personal reasons. And the devil makes sure that those who don't come have a good reason. Reasons that, as long as you're not in eternity, seem pretty good. But when you stand before the Lord, all those reasons why you wouldn't come to the Lord will seem mute and ignorant and stupid. because on your way to hellfire, you'll be kicking yourself in the rear because you were so stupid. Now, in my life before I came to the Lord, I was stupid too. And I even went to church, the Methodist church. You know, we have a tendency to sin, don't we? Do things wrong, get prideful. But God says, come to me. Just be honest. Confess your sins, come unto me. Where does it say confess your sins? Well, try reading Romans 3 through 7. That's chapters. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That they might know thee, the one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You notice that's our God and our Father in Jesus Christ. That is Father and Son. He says, I have glorified thee on earth and have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha, the beginning, the Omega, the end, and everything in between. That is who he is. So in many ways, when we're going through this, we actually see doctrine here. The doctrine of the Father and the Son, the doctrine of salvation. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now he did choose 12 disciples, and one was a devil. And then he had others that followed him, and on, you know, when he ascended, the group that was left was about 150, I think, 120 gathered in the upper room, and that's when Pentecost happened. And Peter then, after the infilling of the Holy Spirit, preached, and 3,000 got saved that day. Pentecost being one of the pilgrim feasts. So Jews from all over the Roman Empire were there, and they heard. So once they heard, and those who believed took that back with them to their own country. And they could testify of Jesus back there, of Yahshua. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Why do they know? Why do the apostles know that all of those things that he has told them have come from the Father? He says this, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. See, they've received the words, not just Christ, but the very words that he said. And they believe that he came out from the Father, and that the Father did send him for this purpose. Now, you get down to verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them thou hast given me, for they are thine. He's not praying for the world. And here we're talking about everybody else that's in the world. He's not praying for them. He's praying for the disciples, those who have believed on him. All those who belong to him and are his. He just got done telling you that he gave the words that the Father gave to them. They received him, and they know that he came from the Father, and they believe that the Father sent him. So this is who he's talking to. I pray for them, those who had received him, those who have believed upon him, who were of his group. And so he goes in, you know, and this is the amazing thing when we talk about how this works. All mine, the Lord says, are thine, speaking to the Father. And thine, speaking of the Father, are mine, and I am glorified in them. The unity of the Spirit. The Father and the Son, and the Son and the Father. And when we receive the Lord, both of them are in us through His Spirit. And thus we become sealed in our spirit. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now see, this is where you know, I've talked about this story before, and this is an example of an unfortunate doctrinal error. A major preacher here in town, and I knew him. We talked, and he decided he wanted to run a restaurant along with his church because, whatever personal reasons, it went bankrupt eventually. He lost money, and it wasn't the thing to do, but at the time, he had just gotten done apologizing to his congregation, telling them that there's the Father and that there's the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he told them that Jesus is the same as the Father because they're one. Of course, I tried to tell him, but it didn't do any good. For the Lord himself said, Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the Lord was baptized by John, you heard the voice of the Father coming from heaven. You saw the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove. And the Lord himself standing in the water. Now, if he was actually the Father as well, not two individuals, but one, he would have had to assume or create the miracle of a cloud or something looking like a bird coming down upon him as the Holy Spirit and throw his voice and lie saying, this is my Son. Well, it's ludicrous to say the least, but there are people that believe that and swear by that. Now see, he's telling you how him and the Father are one. They have the same spirit. They are in one in purpose, mind, and spirit. And he says that they may be one as we are one. Now think about that, Christian. When we are found in Christ, we are also found in the Father. And he himself said, you can go to the Father and ask him anything. Because you believe in me, the Father will receive you. So when we're in Christ, the Father's already in Christ, and Christ and the Father, so both of them are in us. So he says that they may be one as we are in one. And so as such, all believers are in one. And that's the teaching in the New Testament. We all belong to the same body. We have different operations. We have different jobs, but we're the same body. We're all found in Christ. Christ is actually the overall tabernacle of which we dwell. Now see, the Samaritan woman got off on this because she asked, you know, you say in Jerusalem is where you ought to worship. And she was asking him, where do you worship? And he says, believe me, that the day comes. And that they that worship the Father will worship him in spirit and truth. for the Father seeketh such. And before he said that, neither here or in Jerusalem, meaning neither in Samaria or in Jerusalem or any other place, it's spirit and truth. The building we have in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and all the rest of it, being the dwelling place of God, is removed. Having churches is really removed. It's just a place we meet, folks. And we are really, really in one in Christ and also in the Father. Now, this should really excite you because, you know, we think all the time, well, in order to find a miracle, we got to really pray through and we got to, you know, reach up to heaven to get our prayers made. No, you don't. For the Lord is within you. He knows. Heaven is within you. The kingdom of God is within you, the Lord says. I think half of our problem is not unbelief like many think. It's not that at all. It's the fact that we don't understand things. You don't have to call out to heaven on the other side of the universe to get God to hear you. Yes, he is on his throne, and the Lord is at his right hand. But their spirit is in you if you're a true believer. You don't have to go running around everywhere to find out where God is. The problem is, your eyes have been hid by the enemy or even your own flesh to convince you what a lot of people really believe. It's not that hard. But sometimes we don't understand the true scope of what Christ has done. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The son of destruction, meaning Judas. But you see, the thing of it is, Paul picks up on that little phrase, son of perdition. He uses it to describe the evil one that's coming in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Judas was a liar and a thief. The son of perdition, that's the devil, because he's a liar, the father of lies. He's a thief, cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. The son of perdition is a title and a phrase used to describe the dark one who is coming. And in Revelation 13, when he's called a beast, that directly reflects his source of where he came from. The son of perdition describes what he is. That the scripture might be fulfilled, it says. And now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I love this because, have you ever been depressed? I mean, look at the world today. Look at the news, man. You read enough of that stuff, you're going to be depressed. You know? And some time ago, I just said, no matter what happens, this is years ago, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to open the door by faith, believing that God will make a way for me and my family. And I don't care how dirty, rotten, how lousy it is, how depressing things are, I'm going to believe God to make a way for me and my family, period. My hope does not lie in the perversion in this nation. It does not lie in the ability of Trump. It doesn't lie in the ability of Maxine Waters to yell and scream and shout. It doesn't rest in Hollywood. It does not rest in the banking system. It does not rest in this local church down here. It rests in the eternal Son of God, who was sent by the eternal Father to redeem us from sin. And we are in the world. We are not of the world. The world is not supposed to be in you. You're supposed to be in the world, but filled with the Spirit of God. And the Lord is supposed to be in you, and you're supposed to be of Him. And His fruits are supposed to be flowing through you. His peace is supposed to be in you, and you are to abide in Him, so fruits will abide on you, so the Father, who is the husbandman, can come along and prune you, so you'll have even more fruit. So His joy... Now let me do this again. Now come I to thee. He's coming to the Father. These things I speak in the world. He's in the world. He's sowing seed here. That's what He's doing. He's praying these words in the world. Praying them about His people. That they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, look at that. My joy fulfilled. Now, there again, do you ever find yourself short of joy? Well, the answer is, usually, 90% of the time, well, of course. The only time I've seen anybody that is 100% happy all the time is somebody that's crazy and in a nut house, usually. But the Lord says, My joy will you have, not as the world gives. The world gives you, what? A bank account full of money. People want to win the lottery so they can have tons of money. That gives them joy, temporarily. If them and, you know, the wife and the husband don't fight over it. Look at, who is it, Tower? Margot Kidder. Yeah. The one that was in Superwoman, Superman, whoever it was. She committed suicide. That woman had it all, but she still had problems that most of us didn't know about. Look at Robin Williams. Total success in the world, but yet he committed suicide. He didn't have the Lord's joy. Didn't have His peace. You see what I mean? And the one thing that you hope for, many people... Good job, make lots of money, be able to retire, do all this, yada, yada, yada. But the joy is supernatural of the Lord. And it flows through you and comes to you. And that's just one of the fruits. That ain't the only thing. But He's talking about joy here. Why joy? Well, because the world is such a mess. Now, as I say that, there's a lot of good things in the world. Matter of fact... You know, man himself has a lot of potential to do wonderful, fantastic things. But he also has the potential to be the most despicable, lying, cheat, thieving, murderer, rapist, ugly, utterly wicked that the world has ever seen. You have the two extremes. But see, God gives us a world out of His providence and His grace and His love and allows us to live out our lifetime, even if we're wicked, and says, okay, it's appointed unto man, but after this the judgment. I'm going to judge you. And I am the creator of all souls. Our Father is the Father of all souls. And they're going to return back to Him, and He will judge them. Find out where they're going to spend eternity. Now, verse 14, I have given them thy word, And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now make no mistake, the world does not like the word. You know, for years. You know, for years and years and years and years, even when I was in Bible school back in the 70s, the world always had a problem with God. And it's not as bad as it is today, but back then, of course, they had the same problem. They did not like the male pronouns of God. They did not like our God and our Father. Why not our God and our Mother? Now see, today you actually have a big majority of that. You've got churches that have gone that way. And you got people that are writing Bibles, and they've always written Bibles, folks. But you see, they can corrupt the Word of God. Because I got news for you. The copy of the Word of God that you have, which you call your Bible, is your copy. If you were to burn every Bible on this planet, the Word of God would still be there. The Word of God is eternal. It's written on the pages of eternity. Every angel there is has the Word of God engraved in him. He knows and responds to the Word of God. Now, if you, Christian, were thrown in a prison cell without no word, and if you prayed, the Lord would give you a word. Now, we do take the Word of God for granted, but the world hates the Word. Because in giving the Word, just like John 3:16, they love John 3:16 because, yeah, we can just believe with our heads and we're saved, but they never go to the rest of the context. Because most of them will not come to the light. Now, you can say, well, good, I believe in him. But you sat on the wrong side of the road saying, well, I believe in God. You got to cross a road from the deeds of darkness and get over into the light and say, I'm going to walk in this light. For John, 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We have to walk in that light. Not just sit there and say, oh, I believe, and then walk in the deeds of darkness. That's not how this works. But believe me, we got a lot of Gentile churches, and that's exactly what they teach. It's time to get up off your butt, get out of them lukewarm churches, and go find somebody that can give you the truth of God. Because sitting next to the devil and holding his hands ain't going to get you in to see the Lord anytime soon. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And we prove this every week when we go through our advocacy for the persecuted church. Erdogan, it's been in the news. And Pastor Brunson, he was just preaching the gospel. And of course, ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, has been covering this and been standing up to help him. And by the way, the ACLJ, they do everything through donation. They don't charge Pastor Brunson nothing. He takes this on. He's a Christian man, his organization. They do this, and they do this because there's Christians who support them, and these people do the work that you and I don't know how to do. He's in the forefront of the fight, both up there alongside Trump, taking care of some issues of the deep state, and of course with Pastor Brunson and others. He was there to help Abedini get out. But see, in these countries now, especially now in Erdogan's new caliphate he's pushing, of course, they're all Sunni, and they did like ISIS. I've explained this before, but at any rate, he hated him. You know, they found him guilty. You know, if you go out and give food and water and clothing, they consider that Christianity, spreading the gospel, because doing good deeds and feeding and clothing the poor are associated with Christianity. So if they catch a Christian pastor doing that, now Abedini got in trouble, and he was working with orphans over there in Iran. And there's a number of other pastors there of whom we've talked about and covered, and they're in prison now. And these are Iranian Christian pastors who are trying to win and help people for the Lord. If they just preach the word, if they give out food, if they try to help them in any way. Well, see, Iran's cracking down because there's been such a spread of Christianity, they're trying to stop it. Erdogan's trying to stop it because there's been a lot of Christians there too. And I can tell you, in a lot of the areas, we report on a lot of Muslims coming to the Lord. It's kind of ironic because in America we have people that are Christians who are actually turning to Islam. And like I've said before, when you've got the truth and reject it, the only thing you have left is a lie. Now the world don't like that because they want to be politically correct, but Christianity is not politically correct. Christianity, in its purest form, going back to the apostles, is not politically correct. It's heavenly correct. The world is an enmity with God, is against God. And the world hates those who follow the Lord, hates them. And we prove that every week. And it's not that we're so great. People have been proving this since the beginning. We know that. And he says, now, let's go to verse 15 of this. Well, before we do this, we can come back with this because hour one is, let us say, kind of down the road right now. And so when we come back, we'll be at verse 15. Now, we are in John. And we're going to break off for about 3 or 4 minutes. We do this, and we do this in order to have 1 hour segments instead, you know, on our video and stuff, and our audio, to make it easier for those with smartphones, laptops, and other devices to download and listen to. And if you are a pastor or someone that's overseas listening to these broadcasts, you can go to warn-usa.com, and we have lots of stuff that you can download and you can utilize for your people. You don't have to download them all at once. So at any rate, we'll see you on the other side. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy 3 or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.